Kumlana Block Gemara, we're up to Kuflam Advov, Omer Aleph. Mishnah Kaisim, the Chasim Levonim, if somebody writes his estate to his children while he's a healthy person and he wants to marry a woman and he doesn't want to give all of his Chasim to his wife because maybe he'll lose his children, maybe children get nothing left at all. So he wants that his children should have the estate when he dies, but right now he's alive, he wants to live in his house, so he wants to be a life tenant in his own house, and then his children we will Yasha. We're just starting the Mishnah. Yeah. Kuflam above him and Aleph. Hakoyz the Chosel Bonif. He writes as a Chosel to his children, but he wants that he shall live there right now. Tzadu Sheyichtav, he has to write. Mahayem Alacha Misabud, he has to write from today and after I die. If he just says it's your property after I die, then it doesn't work anymore because after you die, you can't give a shtar. If he says it's yours today, then it's no longer his. He says it's yours today from when I die, which means that you have the goof and I have the penis. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, if you spell it out. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Tzadik, you don't have to spell the word Mahayim, it's quite obvious. And we'll explain, why is it obvious? Because why do you write a date on it if you don't want it to start till then? That you want people to know what date it is. If a person writes the chosim to his son, it take effect after he dies. Because the father cannot tell because he sold his son. He sold his son, it belongs to his son as of today. If nation suv the bond, Ben belongs to the son right now. But Ben in Yochalim, the son cannot sell him. Nation shows up because right now the father has the right to use it. Mochar of the father did sell it. Mechudi machiyamas, whatever rights he has, he can pass on so they only can use it. But mochar Ben, the son sold it. Ain't lekeben klum. The lekech has nothing from it. Achiyamas until the father dies, just like the son. The son cannot use it till the father dies. Same thing with the lekech. Says the Gemara, I don't know the kosa mahayim alach misa mahave. What does it help by saying mahayim if you don't want to take effect till after he dies? So lechayda when you say mahayim alach misa, there's a suffering. Maybe he's changing his mind. Maybe he meant first to say today is yours. Then he said no. What alach misa? So why does the son, and Lachamisa, the son gets nothing, and we learn by get, that's exactly how we treat it, we don't know how to understand it. Now we learn, Mahayemu Lachamisa, if a guy gives a get to his wife from today, then he says, after I die, he wants to prevent her from having me stuck with his brother, get, ve'ena get, we don't know what he means. Ve'imeis, if he dies, chaylatsiv, he doesn't marry his brother-in-law, but she still is a chalitza, because maybe he meant to change his mind, that the get should not take effect after he dies, and a get is worthless after he's dead. Awesome. The Gemara says over there, Misapkalon, we're not sure. Itanoi havi chazor havi. Was he making the condition that starts today, but only after I die retrospectively, retroactively, or he's changing his mind? Here it's clear what he's saying. He's saying here, because here there are two parts, so we can divide it into two parts. There's no two parts, either today or tomorrow. Here you can say, Gufu koni mehayim, the property is yours from today, but I'll still use it, pay the lacham misa, but you cannot use it till after I die.
But with what is it his if he can't sell it? He can't sell till the father dies.
Doesn't matter, but it's yours. You're giving me use of it. You own a house, and I'm renter. What house is yours?
No,
I'm using it because the fact you still own the house, it's your house. You're giving me rent or use. That's called life tenancy. It's exactly what life tenancy is. Belongs to somebody else, and then I can use it. Yeah.
But he only has the fruits after Misa, so he's not actually.
Here he's getting the property itself after Misa. The son gets...
He gets both.
But now he owns the property and the lady gets everything. Rabbi Yehuda said, sorry, Rabbi, Rabbi Uchalos was sick. All the guy, but Rabbi Nachman, to visit him, I'm embarrassed, but boy, he talks to you better. Ask him a question. Is Alokha Rabbi Yehuda or ain't Alokha Rabbi Yehuda? Then you don't have to add the word Mahayim. Amalei, Rabbi Nachman said to him, time made the Rabbi Yehuda lay down. I don't even understand the word Rabbi Yehuda saying. Halokhi boy, you want me to ask him what Halokh is? Amalei said, I'll make a deal with you. Ad boy, you ask him the question, whether halacha is like him or not. I'll give you the reason afterwards. So boy, asked him, Amalei, so the Rabbi said, this Rabbi said, halacha, like Rabbi Yasi. Boston and Nokia walked out, Amalei, hind the time. I promised, I'll tell you the reason. Here it is. The Rabbi Yasi said, why do you write today's date on the start? If it doesn't take effect till after the guy dies, don't write today's date. Who cares when it was written? It doesn't take effect till the day he dies. Is it I? You put today's date in so people should know when the start actually takes effect. The date shows it. What about in the case of Hakno, where the man who says to aid him, I want you to be this property on behalf of that person. You buy, you're getting it from me, and you are going to pass it on to the next person. What happened in this case? In the case of Hakno, you don't have to say Mahayim, because obviously, why are you doing this Hakno? Because you want to take effect today. Because no, it depends. Sometimes you do something, don't it? Depends. If they said that we passed it on to the child, then they wrote again at the end of the shtar, and we bought it from him. They wrote twice. Obviously, if he passed it on, you bought it from him. So why do you have to say that? So then this is extra word to tell you this starts to take effect from today, from the day that we bought it from the rights from the man, the donor. Lo tzarich. You don't have to add mahayim. Aber kanina minei. We bought it from him. Then they wrote vaknia, and we passed it on. Then the tzarich. Then it seems to be repetitive. Obviously, when they say we bought it from him to pass it on. Then they say, and we passed it on. What do you say? Obviously, he passed it on. That's what you bought it from for. It's extra to tell you that what? That starts to take effect from today. Sorry, you have to add word mahayim. Maskel Rabbeinu Chinuch Masura. Chinuch asked Masura a question. I don't understand. Asham Arayim don't understand the different nuances. Whether you say first Vikanina and then Vikinyana, or Vikinyana then Vikanina. Safra Yodi and the Seifim will know. What kind of halacha is it? Shalunu the Safra Abaye. They questioned the Seifim Abaye. The Yodi, they knew everything. And the Safra the Rav also the Yodi. They knew it. I don't care. I don't care which order you do it. Whether we bought it from him, we passed it on. Like sorry, you don't have to mention Mahayim. We passed it. That's obvious. But in the place where they say we remember. No, it's not a shtar, a proper shtar. They're saying writing down something that they remember. Over duchlin, if you remember, pizgami dahavi abanpo, words that took place before us, pligi. That's where we make a difference, whether which way they wrote it. I said it over to him. Normally, atan hochim masin. How you learned the question and answer, and on hochim masin. We learned as a fact. When it comes to hakno, ain't tzarich. When it comes to hakno, they pass it on through edim. You don't have to add my yom. Automatically, the moment I'm giving it to edim to pass it on to the beneficiary, obviously I want to take effect straight away today. Bein hakno kanimene. Bein kanimene. You don't have to add the word mahayim. It's obvious. You want to take effect straight away. And beduchrin pizgami dahavi bapal pliya. When they're arguing, when it's not a shtar that takes effect, it's a shtar that to edim write down. We remember that these are the words that were said. Then it makes a difference. That's a machlekes of Rabbi Yosi if you have to have the word mahayim or not. Hakoysev nuchasul nolach moed. The guy writes as a state to his son after he dies. So the son, the property belongs to the son, but the payers belong to the father. And if the father sells it, all he's selling is his rights to payers. If the son sells it, he'll sell his right that when the father dies, they can take over the property. Itma, we learned. What about Mochar HaBen B'chaya? The son sold it, right? So we said that nothing happens until the son dies. The father dies. But V'meis HaBen B'chaya, the son died before the father died. What happens in this case? Do we say it doesn't matter? If the son would have been alive, if the son
climbed the field until the father died.
Right, but if the son would not have sold it, and the son predeceased his father. When the father dies, it goes to him. Obviously, he's dead. So through him, it goes to his children. So now it's going through him to the lekech. Or do we say no? Only if the din of lekech will only apply if the son is still alive. Even after the father dies, why? Because since the son never had shaykhis to the field, even though he owned the field itself, he never had shaykhis to the field. The father really owned the field till he died. We'll see him in why. And the shlok says, yeah, of course, we'll see him in why.
Back to the question I had on the Mishnah.
We'll see him in why. You know what? The father has the right of paidus, and we Rabbi Yechon holds that. Whoever has the right to use it as if he's the owner. So who's really the owner? The father. Even though the son owns, in theory, the property, but doesn't really own it. Yeah, says and the kinyan paid kinyan guftami. So if the son died before the father, the son had really nothing. But if he never sold it, then the Torah says it goes to his children. But if he sold it, he had nothing to sell. So therefore, there was no sale. And after the father died, who's selling it? So therefore, the lekeach has no property. The shlokish says, no. Kana lekeach. The lekeach is kana. Why? Because kinyan paid is lav ki kinyan guvdami. The shlokish says that the lekeach is kana because the father never owned it. Kinyan paid is only kinyan paid. The son owned it outright, and he sold it. Said the mother, that's how machleki is. We already had this entire sugya before. In Gittin, the Itma, we learned. If you sell your field only for the right to use the paydus, I'm not selling the thing itself, just the paydus. Because whoever has the paydus has the goof, and therefore you could say the land that you gave me. Satuli. And Ishlaki says, no, maybe you have to still bring it, but the Einu Kaida, you can't say the posse, the land you gave me, all you have is Paytas. Maybe the Kaida, so he holds, can you pay the Kikina Guvdami, therefore you own the land, you have a right to say it's mine. And Ishlaki is on, maybe the Einu Kaida. Why? Because can you pay this love, Kikina Guvdami? So we already have this principle argument. What do you have to argue again over here? No. Big difference, and I wouldn't have known if I wouldn't have repeated again. I forgot, even though generally you know the Baal Makinya Pedig Guvdami, when it comes to Bikurim, I hold that you have to bring and say the land you gave me because Kinya Pedig Guvdami. You know why? Salgami, I would have thought the father was being generous here. The father was being generous. He said, you know what? I want my son to have the property after I die, so I want him to have it. And what is the father's true intention? He wants the son to have it. So maybe in this case, the father says, I don't say Kinya Pedig while I'm alive, I own the property itself. I don't really need it. It's his own son. He's not selling it. He wants his son to have it. Nobody prompted.
Why does he have to say anything if the son's getting yashin anyway?
No, but his wife might get it, or he might sell it. He wants to make sure his son has it and doesn't go to his wife's children, unless he marries a second wife, or a third wife, or a fourth wife. He doesn't want this land to be diminished in
his family name.
He told me he wants his first children to have, you know, the bulk of whatever it is. So since he's Meichel Gabi's son, he gives up his rights to the Kinya Guf, maybe. So maybe if the son sells it, it would be a good sale. Salkin, I never thought. No, even in this case, it's a din. Not because of his mind, intention. Kinyan Paytas is Kinyan Guf. Because what do you own? The right to use it. Who has the right to use it? The father. He's Mamish owner. Like you said, what does the son really own? It's theory. However, the Shlokish says, I have to also repeat it because I forgot, even though Ba'alma, generally speaking, Kinyan Paytas lavka Kinyan Guf Dami. And the halacha, by the way, in this case, like in Shlokish, that Kinyan Paytas is not a Kinyan Guf. Here I would think Faket. Here I would think that Kinyan Paytas by the father is Kinyan Guf. Why? Because Salka Minar thought, Kol, the Gabi Nafshe, Filim Mokabre, Nafshe Difle. Remember, the father is giving it away. The whole idea of Kinyan Paytas, a person generally is very selfish. He wants to, even though he's giving, he still wants to keep for himself. If he's showing that he wants to keep something, he wants to keep it in the best possible way. So even though the father is kind enough to give it over to his son, but he's only giving it over after he dies. So right now, while he's alive, he wants to own the whole thing. So maybe, because Legabi Nafshe, you always take care of yourself first, even father got be a son. So I would have thought in this case, even he retained the Kinya Paytas, it's Kinya Guf. He wants to make sure he has the thing itself. Kamashla, that's not so. You say Kinya Paytas is not Kinya Guf. But the question it says is, Chosai Loch, my Nechosama to you, Ruven. And then Acherech, and then after you die, Yiddish Pliny, so Shimma should get it. And the Acherech, and then after Shimma dies, Yiddish Pliny. So Levi has no connection to Ruven. Shimon's connected to Ruven, and Levi connected to Shimon. Meisish, and Ruven dies, new Kana Sheni, so Shimma gets it. Oh, but Meis Sheni, and if Shimma dies afterwards, Kana Shlishi. What about Meis Sheni Bechayidish? What about Shimma never got it? Because Ruven was alive, outlived Shimon. And then when Ruven died, only Levi was alive. Does Levi have any connection with Ruven? Levi's connection to the field is only through Shimon, but Shimon is not alive, so Levi has no connection.
So he goes back to the father's household.
He goes back to Reuben. No, not the father. Goes back to the first to Reuben because he gave it to Reuben. Then so Reuben after you die goes to Shimon. Shimon after you die goes. These are friends of people. Goes to Levi. Since Shimon predeceased Reuben, Levi has no connection to the field. Now the im is and according to you. A Kinyan Paytas is not a Kinyan Aguf, which means that Reuven never really owned the property. She really go back, like you said, to the donor. Why does it stay with Reuven? All Reuven was given was the fact that I told Reuven, you have to pass the property on to Shimon. What am I telling Reuven? That you don't have the, you don't own the property. If you own the property, why is it passed on to Shimon after he dies? Stay with his family. He's like, all I'm giving you is Paytas. If all I'm giving you is Paytas, and after they all die, so who's left? The original person who still owns the property, so therefore it should go back to the Noisei. On Malay, so the Shlokish answered, Kvar Tigmar Avayishavash already answered Bavel, Acharecho Shiny. When you use the word Acharecho, it's a different kind of, I'm not just giving you Paytas. Acharecho means I'm giving you the entire property, Paytas and Guf. It's like I'm saying Klor. Even I agree, says the Shlokish, if you clearly say, I'm giving you, if I sell you a property. Of course I'm selling you everything. Acherecha is like I'm selling you the property. I'm not just giving you the right to use it, even though I'm telling you after you finish, give it to the next guy. Because I said Acherecha, B'shas Ma'is is completely yours. So the Paytas and the Guf here belong to Reuven. That's why afterwards it goes back to Reuven.
Why would you pass it on to your third person?
I have three friends. You're my best, you're my middle friend, you're not so great. You have a first as long as you're alive. When you finish, you pass it on to him, and he finishes, you pass it on to him. That's what I did.
The middle one dies.
So the third one, but the third one has no connection to the first one. The third one's connection to the field is only after, got to, he said, second one, and then he said, Shimon, after you die, I want you to pass it on to Levi, but you is not around anymore. Yeah, intention is gone, but how did the kinyan happen? So now we're saying, but when you say Acherecha, I'm giving you the entire field, Pedis and Guf. So it's different than normal cases. Right. Now, like it, you better get past it.
No, I'm saying that the inyan that I'm telling you, that I want the field to then go to Ploini, and then after that it should go to Ploini. I'm maintaining a control on that
no,
field.
No, okay, yeah, but look, it's,
I'm
a, it's
not,
a tonight.
I'm not giving
it's a
you
tonight.
Complete control.
Look at Ashbah, 5 lines to the bottom. Acherecha Shaini, why is Acherecha different? And the mashmat seem, the goof, who paid this Nasalish? I gave you everything. The behead your party, she clearly said, Acherecha Yirash Ploini. Afterwards, so wait, there's Bamsi to learn the word Yiddish after it sounds like. After Shimon should get it from you, Vahalesa the latest, but the problem is Shimon's not around to Yashin. Hilchach Yishiru be Yad Yashirish stays in the hand, remains in the hand of Reuven. The Hachi Kamala, this is what he's saying to him. Ko Yimei Chayecha, as long as you're alive, Reuven, Yehako Shulcho, Hapeidi Vahaguf. That's what I'm saying when I say Echelecho. Umashe Yishtayet. Because the din is, as we said, we learned a few days ago, that if Reuven decides to sell the property, he can and keep the money. And Shimon gets nothing. It's only if there's a property left, Shimon give it to Shimon. Even though you spell this out. Umashe Yishtayet, Echelecho, you can't plan it. That's right.
Those two words.
He can sell it. So in other words, I'm giving you the entire thing.
If Reuven decides I'm selling the field, Shimon later gets garnished.
And that's what's saying tomorrow. It's a bad advice to tell Reuven to have this halacha, because Reuven can be a smart aleck. Sell the field and give it to his children and
cash it in.
Yeah, that's called a bad advice, even though legally it's correct. So giving a law, what a lawyer does, giving legal advice when it's you're hurting somebody else, is called a rasha, as you'll see more tomorrow. This is about a bite. He answered the same thing. Acherecha shiny. But Tanya, we learned. Yachzeru li yoshe noisen. I will let another braisa. Like you originally said, you only gave the paydas and therefore goes back to the noisen. Tanoyis. Taka machlekes tanoyim. But Tanya, we learned. In one place it says, Nechosai lecha. I'm giving you my nechosi. Vacherecha lepleini. Then afterwards, the Shimon. The yor adirishin amacha came along Reuven and he went down and he sold it. Vachal hasheni. Vachal. And he ate up all the money. Hasheni. Reuven had no right to sell it. When Reuven dies, Shimon says, take it back. In other words, Reuven had no right to, because like you said, you don't own it. You only own it while you're alive. It's like you have life tendency. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe holds that Reuven doesn't really own it. However, if Shimon says, what does Shimon get? Only if there's anything left to Reuven. If there's nothing left, gone. So according to Rav Shimon, Reuven owns it outright, the paydas and the goof. You do whatever you want to do. But I mean, we learn another place. Nechasai lecham, my nechasim is to you. Vacherecha lepleini, and afterwards another person. Yoyde drishin u'moyche v'oichel divrei Rebbe. There it says pufaket. There it says that the drishin that Rebbe says that Reuven can sell it. Pufaket, what he said before. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that ein drishin lachil pelavad, that the first one cannot sell it. Pufaket before. Kasha the Rebbe and the Rebbe used Rashi and Gamliel because before he said that he cannot sell, nice he could. Is the Rebbe Rebbe Kasha? No, Kasha. Hold the goof in the first place. He's saying that Reuven wants he cannot sell the property itself. Hold the pay. The second place, no matter if he wants to sell the produce, he can. That he can because he owns that. However, Rashbag Lakasha, what about Shimon Gamliel? Lakasha, ho lechatchila, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you should not sell it. It's not right for Reuven to sell lechatchila. Oh, but if he sold it, it's a good sale. Omer Abaye, that's what we learned today already. Ezehu Rasha Orem, who's considered a conniving Rasha? Strong words, not Tama Rasha. He's a Rasha Orem, a trickster. The Hamesi ate to Limka Bilchask of Shingamlil. The Halacha Shingamlil, if you go out of volunteer advice, no, it's not that Reuven came along and asked the Rav, can I do it? You have no breda. But you can't, Reuven, you want to outsmart Shimon? Go ahead and sell the property. You keep the money, in your family. That's called a Rosh Arum.
Omer Rabbi Yechon. Armumis, isn't it?
Yeah, Armumis is tricky. You're conniving. Omer Rabbi Yechon, Halacha Kerab Shimon Mingamlil. Halacha Shimon Mingamlil. Okay, we'll stop here.